Hello, prayer warriors. Welcome back to our sexual mutual aid symposium. We are not firing off the rockets today, but we are certainly having discussions. And we are sitting and we are listening and we are making allegations. And again, we still love living. I love breathing and living and seeing with my eyes and listening to my heart go ba-bump, ba-bump.
We would never kill ourselves.
Yeah, for our follow-up episode, we decided to invite one of the premier experts on sexual mutual aid, Greg from Guerrilla Radio Show, who you might know from our previous episodes that we've had Greg on. I feel like we always have you on when we're talking about controversial things.
That's my thing. Mm-hmm. That's my whole bit.
And you probably also should be listening to Guerrilla Radio Show if you aren't already. We need them to get some normal fans who know how to behave. And I don't know if asking the Big Soy Naturals audience is going to help provide that, but
I think a lot of them are very tempered. Though they love to ask me how to be cool with autism, I think they try really hard. They have a lot of self-control. They could be asking in a way worse way. So
yeah, I'm still not over the like amount of them that felt comfortable telling us that they were eating pennies and wax.
I did not love that.
So I don't know if they're totally
normal.
If you
have pica, please don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Tell me. Shoot me a DM. I want to hear about all the weird shit you're eating so we can compare it to different kinds of monkey.
That's between you, God, and the urgent care. Like, I'm not a part of this. Like, you can leave me out. I'm good.
Okay, for those of you who have never listened to Big Soy Naturals before, I'm Virgil. I've never taken money from Peter Thiel. I never will. I used to be Elon Musk's diversity and inclusion consultant, but I am currently unemployed. I am the founder of a cryptocurrency company called Banana Coin. It is rapidly losing value, so please, please acquire some Banana Coin so that things can improve. Kenny, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, I'm Kenny. I am your USB rat king. I am unemployed, but I don't need a job. I float between the ether. I also have never taken money from Peter Thiel because money is impermanent to me as a member of the Kennedy family. If I die, I will simply go back to my regeneration chamber as given to us by the government.
Well, and you can't die unless you get in a car. So since you don't drive, you're kind of safe.
Yeah. It's once we get in the car, it's something about, you know, the car energy. It's like our kryptonite, you know?
Family allergy.
recently, I will say times have been tough for the Kennedy family. I have had to sell some of my horses. The LK water fountain is no longer with us, but Affirmative Action is still here. She's been my close companion for so long.
Affirmative Action, the horse.
I just couldn't. Yeah, the horse.
No relation.
I just couldn't part with her. No relation, no. I will say she has had to get her legs replaced more than once. But, you know, given the magic of the Kennedy Trust Fund, we have been able to keep her steady and keep her going. In the world of dressage. So we're happy. And that's been my life update so far.
Greg, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. I'm Greg. You may know me as the most doxxed and canceled man alive. I am the only one among both of these podcasts with my full name and address completely publicly available. Please do not send me poison in the mail. I am 6'6". I have flowing golden hair. And I am sadly gainfully employed, and I hate it. I host a podcast about monkeys. That's my bit. I'm a...
And it's good. It's a good podcast about monkeys.
It's definitely okay.
I learned a lot about primates, and now I go to the zoo sometimes for fun. And I look at the primates, the and I'm like, oh, well, some of them are not so bad. Philadelphia Zoo is nice. Some of them are sad.
You learned a bit about how the monkey semen is made.
I did.
In some ways.
I did.
They just have monkey semen and other things. Many other things. You learn about colonialism while you listen to Gorilla Radio's show. You'd also learn about the diseases you might get at a 100 Gex concert. On Gorilla Radio Show.
Absolutely.
That's why it's one of our favorite podcasts, and we only have two podcasts that are our favorite podcasts. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
exactly.
Penny, can you start the episode? What is this episode about? What's going on?
Yeah, so if you listened to the previous episode in our series, if you haven't, you should. You'll be very confused otherwise. We left off with the lawsuit of some cam sex workers who alleged that OnlyFans had bribed Meta in order to target workers from rival cam platforms for deactivation. FanCentro, one of those rival platforms, also sued OnlyFans, alleging that performers promoting their FanCentro content on Instagram were systematically targeted and placed on a digital terrorist database in order to remove their profiles.
Awesome.
Yeah, sick. So... yeah, to be clear, like, they're promoting it on an app. They're promoting their FanCentro account on an app outside of OnlyFans and, like, not within their jurisdiction at all.
Well, on Instagram, right?
They're
like,
being,
they're linking their FanCentro profile in their bio or, in a link
on Instagram.
Or something. And then...
yeah, so they're being
Instagram
systematically
like,
found
hey,
and targeted.
Hey, only our friends from OnlyFans can do this. You are a terrorist now.
Yeah, you're not allowed. So they're being, like, tracked very specifically. When OnlyFans responded to the suit, they accidentally revealed in their submitted document evidence of wire transfers. they did a big oopsie, and they submitted their own demise within their evidence. And they submitted evidence of wire transfers between Phoenix Internet, which is OnlyFans' parent company, and Meta executives to offshore accounts, which, in addition to helping prove the legitimacy of those allegations, also helped provide evidence for one of the other allegations made by FanCentro that OnlyFans maintains a secret offshore account in Hong Kong that is not disclosed anywhere on OnlyFans' website or in its business filings. Now, can you imagine being the lawyer that gets these, like, documents in? They're like, it's probably, like, fucking 3 a.m. and they're like, all right, finally, they turn these in. Oh, fuck. Oh, Jesus. Like, everything we said was true. That's crazy. They just said, all right, yeah, we did it. The suit claims, quote, Smart Team International Business Limited Hong Kong, great name, served as
totally
secretary
not a shell
to... not at all. This is a company, International Global Incorporated, LLC, et cetera. They served as the secretary to Phoenix International Limited Hong Kong in early 2019. Therefore, on information and belief, Ravinsky could have used either Smart Team International Business Limited Hong Kong or Phoenix International Hong Kong to make scheme facilitating payments.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so
awesome.
In other words, this is alleging that OnlyFans maintains a secret offshore bank account that OnlyFans might use for transactions that it doesn't want to be associated with, such as perhaps allegedly bribing Meta.
And what does Meta own? Instagram.
You know? What did you like, say, Greg?
You think he's just got a Venmo for this? He's just Venmoing
him? Oh, yeah.
What's so funny is that an anonymous, like, whistleblower tipped off this other legal team saying, you know, that this, like, these offshore bank accounts exist and these payments were made. And that was why they were alleging it in their lawsuit. Like, they knew that there were bribes and they were able to make that allegation a bit more specifically. But to have it confirmed in, like, OnlyFans response filing is so funny. They're not, I feel like what we've learned so far is that they're not good at doing crimes, and they're just really lucky that, what is the way that I can say this that won't get me assassinated? That I think that powerful institutions are more often willing than not to protect sex traffickers, and so they go, so go, they can go. Get away it's with doing like kind of Looney Tunes style crimes and not mm-hmm. have it picked up on as much.
Yeah, you know, it's just a common pattern, you know, that's allegedly. Seen throughout. Allegedly throughout, you know, history. On the Smart Team website, it describes itself as professional services, as a professional services company.
What do you
this
do?
Is insane.
we provide services.
What kind of services?
In exchange for
professional
goods.
Ones?
Mm-hmm. They're professional and they're very good. They're very good. So they're a professional services company, and they provide offshore company formation and banking what? And accounting and secretarial services.
Are they the fucking shell company that makes shell companies?
We are a crime company, and we do crime
services.
And crime services. We do professional services
like,
where we take your money and we
and what is that
we
profession?
Discreetly transfer
what is that
it
it's
somewhere
crime.
Else.
It's fraud.
It's like Yakuza LLC. They're just
we put it somewhere that is away from landlocked places, and we take it somewhere else. And you can find out where that is at a time or date.
I heard you paint houses incorporated.
So they offer, you know, these offshore company formation services and secretarial services and banking and accounting services for over 60,000 companies worldwide.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. I really love that.
I should have incorporated the podcast like this.
Yeah, yeah. I should have done this, honestly. Or done it in that place that that presidents get their companies done in, like, Delaware or whatever.
Joe Biden's house.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Forensic News was able to confirm in 2022 that Smart Team International Business did provide secretarial services for Phoenix International, but as of 2024, no reporter has been able to find independent information of Smart Team as the entity being behind facilitating payments to Meta or other businesses.
So we
can
allege, but, you know, we don't know for sure.
Yeah. We don't know for sure. It just seems like somebody along the line was like, we gotta diversify our portfolio a little bit and put these somewhere else. That's what it seems like to me.
So a Meta spokesperson told the BBC when this lawsuit was first reported on, these allegations are without merit and we will address them in the context of the litigation as needed. And OnlyFans issued a similar statement and declared the claims have no merit. As we discussed in the last episode, no merit.
Yeah.
Just means that they don't think it's legally actionable, so they're not confirming or denying.
Yeah, it doesn't mean not
beautiful.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, not a problem.
Yeah.
They said, it might be unethical, but, you know.
If we're allowed to do it,
well, it's basically a way to skirt by in case something is found out that, like, you are in fact lying, that it was... that it was true, right? You're saying we don't confirm or deny these allegations. We're saying that we don't think you can sue us for it because we don't know if it's true or not, which, you know, keeps you from seeming like you lied on the record to the press, to media, or in court.
So when I think of offshore bank accounts, I also think of tax evasion. And since we're following the money, it is worth noting that OnlyFans only recently lost their appeal to the UK courts over taxes that it owes in the UK. In June 2020, Sky News broke the story that OnlyFans was about to be hit with a bill for over 3 years of unpaid taxes, and that for the first time since OnlyFans began operating in 2016, which is before it was brought under Leonid Ravinsky's management. He bought it in 2018, but for the first time since it began operating in 2016, OnlyFans only then started charging VAT on fans' monthly subscriptions following discussions with Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. And can I say, British people, it's so sad that, like, your government agencies are called, I guess maybe now it's His Majesty's Revenue and Customs since 2020.
For the next, like, 3 or 4 days, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess then it would be the next one also, right? Because the...
Yeah, so, yeah, next? It would be William.
Bald guy.
Mm.
Yeah,
but different from you. Different from you.
Who's gone?
I don't. Yeah. I don't. I thought that. I thought the other one killed his wife. Well, maybe they both did.
No. This guy cheats on his wife.
No, we're thinking of. You're thinking of Harry. He didn't kill his wife. He just ran away
with his wife.
To Los Angeles.
The less I know about these people, the better. I think it's so crazy that British people still have royalty, and I would like them to return the diamond that they have back to South Africa. Anyway, sad for British people that their government agencies are named Her Majesty Revenue and Customs. I would be so upset if I was hit with a tax bill and it was like, you owe this money to the Queen. Anyway... OnlyFans was trying to get out of paying tax since they were asked to, I suppose, by the UK. And so since 2020, they had filed their own lawsuit asking or claiming that they should not have to pay tax on the full amount of subscriptions charged on the website, but only on the 20% cut that they take in fees from creators' earnings. Unfortunately for Leonid Ravinsky and his net worth, Europe's top court sided with the previous ruling from Britain's tax authority and ruled that OnlyFans acts as an intermediary between creators and fans, but it still is the supplier of services provided, and so therefore it owes taxes on the entire amount. I don't think I understand Europe, because I thought the UK wasn't part of the EU courts anymore,
they
but
think
I guess
they were when this happened.
I see.
Okay. Yeah, I think. If anybody knows anything about British law, I know it's a little more complicated than it is here.
I don't want to know about taxes the UK.
I'll be curious.
Did they leave the EU in 2020?
No, that was 2016 when they Brexited, because it was Trump year.
But maybe it was like right before.
I think they actually left, though.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Like, they voted to leave.
They voted to leave, and then... Yeah,
and now they can't. They can't
still had to
go
like
vegetables
do a transitional
anymore.
Period.
They can only eat like beans.
No, they're back. Like, it's like World War II there again.
Yeah,
yeah. They're like, what happened to all of my stuff? I just wanted the immigrants to go away.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that the immigrants took all their stuff with them.
Well, and I don't think that they can grow food in England,
yeah.
Right?
No, that's
well,
why
yeah,
they
that's
did
big,
that whole thing where
that's
they
a big part of their
yeah.
That's like their whole history is like, we can grow shit here. This place sucks. And so they went to other places and were like, give me your shit right now. Yeah.
Well, you know, Radvinsky?
I mean, he's like
yeah.
Ukrainian.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Radvinsky might lose out on some cash and taxes, but he does have one completely viable, always profitable source of income that is completely free from the prying hands of the world governments. And before you guess yourself, I'll just tell you, it's Bored Apes. Okay, don't
Bored
worry.
Apes.
Radvinsky is the proud owner of not one, not two, but hundreds of NFTs.
Yeah, you thought that Greg was going to come on the show and apes weren't going to be mentioned.
They're always here.
You're wrong.
They're always here.
They're always here. The monkey is always
here.
It all
here. Comes back to Bored Apes if you look close enough.
If you think about it.
So we We found an Ethereum wallet that we were able to confirm does belong to Leonard Ravinsky, which is just leorad.eth.
Leorad.
Yeah. And you can look it up yourself if you're interested. And then you'll see that he currently holds about $1 million worth of NFTs. Two of them are Bored Apes, which ran him a little over $100,000 when he bought them. They are depreciating in value, which you can see in his wallet. I think his Bored Apes are worth like 20% less than when he bought them, but they're going to come back around. So it's a good investment. In the space of just 1 year,
he's buying the dip.
He's conducted 10.7 million in different crypto transactions, and he's purchased and minted close to 1,000 NFTs on that account. With so many NFT transactions that you could make the educated guess that he's probably automated some of that. And we know that Leonard likes to be elusive. So while leorad.eth is definitely connected to him, and we're able to confirm that because some of the transactions that we can track between himself, the OnlyFans crypto wallet, and Ukraine, and we'll get back to that in a second, but the amount of transfers between his account, his confirmed account, and other accounts indicate that he's probably the owner of some of those other accounts where he wants transactions to be less traceable. For example, on the leorad.eth account, he minted an NFT for $65,000 worth of Ethereum, and then he transferred it to Kevin Day, who he's a British comedian and a blockchain activist.
How does minting an NFT work? Is it like when you put quarters into the machine and you push it in and it gives you a stamp?
I learned this.
Like, is that what all you're doing?
I learned this in 2021 when we needed to know what the fuck NFTs were, and I have since forgotten because it's like it's stupid information. I think that there is a computer process that I think that there's some graphics cards involved.
It's putting the money into the ape itself.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like, how is anything worth $65,000, right? It's like the social contract that you say that it is. So yeah, I don't really know. I did used to know. I've forgotten. I don't want to learn it again. So I'm sorry to any Big Sway Naturals listeners who are still wondering how NFTs work in 2024. I think if we all collectively choose to forget, then maybe they'll go away forever. But yeah, I looked up
Kevin
Day.
Yeah,
British comedian, blockchain activist, and also the president of Your.org, which is one of the many, many domain hosting companies that was previously registered and managed by Redvinsky. And he gave him this NFT for free.
Oh, just a little graft. Mm-hmm.
I looked up Kevin Day on Wikipedia, and they said he came to prominence in the British alternative comedy stand-up scene in the late 80s and early 90s.
And he used to be a Nazi, but then he I think, like, heard about a hate crime that happened and then realized that it's not cool to be a Nazi. And he says that after that, he became left wing.
Whoa, real sad that he's like, whoa, this is crazy. I can't believe you guys do this. I just gotta say, what is a British alternative comedy scene? Is it like where you don't stand up straight while you're like talking? Like,
what's Mr. Bean? Is that regular British comedy?
I think that might be regular British comedy.
So it's alternative to Mr. Bean.
Mm-hmm. It's where you wear like white shoes after Labor Day or some shit, like Boxing Day. I don't know British holidays.
I don't know comedy.
They have Boxing Day.
I think they have Boxing Day. Yeah,
it's bullshit made up holiday.
Mm-hmm. That might be Canadian too. I don't know.
Canadians are British. They're still They've still got the Queen or the King.
Equally irrelevant as a people.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a little $65,000 gift to your comedian friend. You know, who among us can say we haven't done that? I mean, come on. But you know, maybe there's other things that you might want to hide. I didn't read ahead on this. if you're wondering why anybody's like, you know, holding on to their Bored Apes in 2024, it might be worth knowing that NFTs are a super duper useful tool for money laundering, which we're going to get so into this in a second. But you might be an individual or an organization, and your name might be Moss, okay? And so you as Moss are going to sell your NFT from your account named Moss Stone, all right? You're going to sell that to your other personal account named, like, Mossy Gravel, okay? And you're going to sell that, and so what you're doing is you're going to take your illegitimate money that you've funneled into Bitcoin, and you're going to wash it through a legitimate transaction. And so when you sell that NFT to yourself, now your money is legitimate. It can't be really traced back to something that's you stealing it or you getting it out of a bribe. You've sold that NFT to somebody else, even though that somebody else happens to be you.
Non-binary people can money launder too.
Absolutely. And so if you're a company doing this, let's say you're selling it to one of your multitude of shell corporations. You now, when you go to report your financials to whatever country you're located in at the end of the year, it looks like you made a bunch of legitimate sales and legitimate sales and legitimate purchases.
And this is something that, yeah. I mean, obviously NFTs are useful for, but the world of art trading is rife with money laundering to begin with. And I think that that's probably a big part of why NFTs are so popular with a certain audience.
And an important mm-hmm. thing to know is the only people who would ever catch this are regulators. Usually, like, if in America, it's like the FDIC. As someone who did a very brief stint doing this, I wouldn't catch it. Nobody's going to catch it. There's too many other things you're looking at. So if you're making 500,000 transactions, and of those, you know, 100,000 of them are fraudulent, they're almost impossible to catch unless you do something incredibly stupid or you, like, triple your net worth.
Yeah, and what if you maybe, in addition to doing some money laundering, you also regularly donate to different lobbying, like PACs and organizations that
never getting caught.
That, you know, hang out with your favorite politicians and take them out yeah. to dinner.
Absolutely. Never getting caught. Mm-hmm. Never getting caught. One thing regulators yeah. at the government love to do is to be taken out to dinner by the owner of a bank, which totally is not a conflict of interest at all and didn't make me super uncomfortable at all. But it was totally fine.
I just wanted some truffle fries yeah. at the at one of the local places.
I hate truffle. Everything is so yeah. it's so gross. Sorry.
Truffle doesn't taste good.
No, I mean, it's like, it's fine, but when they start doing truffle infused shit, and it's gross. It's like
it tastes like dirt.
It's just an excuse to add $10 to the price of something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed. You know, but Leonid isn't just, like, allegedly laundering money, allegedly. he is genuinely passionate about the blockchain. Too. He loves it so much. Yeah, we all love the blockchain. Who among us doesn't love the blockchain? In a very rare public-facing move, and again, like we said in the last episode, he doesn't do public-facing events. He's
and
very,
he doesn't attach
you know,
his name to anything.
Yeah, he loves moving in silence, and, you know, don't we all? But he does it in a way where it's, like, it's very suspect. Like,
it's
why
very obvious
don't
he's
you,
not a stand-up guy.
Why do you only have, like, two... Wait, why do you only have, like, two pictures on Google Images of yourself? In this, like, rare public-facing move, he was the top bidder supporting a documentary about the rise of Ethereum. Spending more than $260,000 worth of Ethereum to land the title of executive producer. So, you know,
that's what he wanted his name.
I will say
on.
This
he
documentary
really
puts their money. I will say this documentary puts their money where their mouth is, where they're like, yeah, in order to be an executive producer, you do have to buy us in Ethereum. Like, you have to buy that title through Bitcoin. Otherwise, like, we're going to look stupid.
I do feel like in maybe like 2 or 3 years, we're going to hear about a crypto death cult But just check back in with me in 3 years when that happens, because we've got one last thing to say about his crypto dealings. I mentioned his relationship with the Ukraine crypto wallet. So in late 2022, when Ukraine was crowdfunding for war money, I'm sure that everyone remembers when people were just like individually giving to the Ukraine like military and their government. It was very, very strange. Super
normal thing to do, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But OnlyFans got involved. They set up a fund themselves where they donated 500 Ethereum, which is 1.3 million, to a group to raise funds for Ukrainian victims of war. And then there was an NFT auction in 2022 to raise funds for Ukraine. And Rudvinsky himself placed a bid of 1,050 Ethereum from his leorad.eth account. But then he was outbid just 12 minutes later. And you can see all of this if you just go look on his crypto wallet. So you can see it for yourself. But he was outbid just 12 minutes later. And then 20 minutes after that, Rudvinsky transferred 1,000 Ethereum to a new wallet, like a brand new account that maybe is his, maybe isn't. And then that wallet, according to blockchain records, immediately sent 999.99 Ethereum to Coinbase, where it could be immediately withdrawn into cash. I had a hard time understanding exactly, like, I, you know, can see that something is occurring, but I had a hard time understanding what the point of doing this would be, or like if it's an indication of fraud and what kind. And that is why we asked our friend Greg to help, because Greg knows about money schemes and frauds and crimes, and whether or not we're in a recession. Which are we in one?
We are in a recession.
Cool.
I hate to tell everybody, but Joe Brandon is lying.
I'm down like the economy.
We are in a recession. Absolutely.
So can you explain what's going on here?
So everyone, there are a couple of different things that Rudvinsky could be doing right now. Option one, his original bid was an attempt at washing money. So it could have just been illegitimate money he had lying around, as you do when you're a crypto billionaire. Meaning that when he submitted that bid, he legitimized the money that he had. He put it into a legitimate transaction. It was logged on the blockchain, whatever the fuck that actually is. And then at an agreed upon time, usually immediately after, somebody else outbid him on purpose so that he could pull that money back out, put it into his other wallet, and withdraw it as cash, as that is now legitimate money that did not come from a source that we could, that, you know, the government couldn't trust. Option two, he was genuinely doing a good thing. However, I want you to hold your horses for a minute and think about everything you've learned about Leonid Rudvinsky over the last 3 hours of podcast. Not a good guy. I'm gonna call it. Allegedly, not a good guy. So he hasn't really shown any propensity to be a proud Ukrainian ever at all. So probably wasn't this. Option three, he was attempting to do a good thing and wash his money at the same time. So there is like a very slim chance, if hell was really cold today, that he was trying to actually bid on this and actually give money to the Ukrainian army and also wash dirty money. So that maybe it was out of his hands. It's not something he needed to worry about anymore. However, it's not a little bit of money he was trying to wash. What was it?
$1,000,
like $2 million.
Which is,
it's like
it's $2 million.
Yeah, it's
dollars.
$2 something.
Sorry. Converting Ethereum
so that's
into
a lot
money. Difficult.
Lot of money. And there could have been a lot of different ways that this happened. Ukraine itself is notable for its.
Yeah, would you say that it was common or normal for people to perhaps use the effort to fundraise for Ukraine to do maybe some financial crimes or make money off of victims of war or the war itself?
There was a lot of that, especially at the beginning of the war. The Ukrainian economy, the outside of it being bombed, has been completely looted and mostly sold off by the Ukrainian government to firms like BlackRock and Bain Capital. So, you know, all friendly names that we all know.
Yeah, they're my friends.
So the Ukrainian government, well known for being the most, like, one of the most, if not the most corrupt country in Europe before the war. And for some reason, everybody bought into this idea that bombs start falling and they stop being corrupt, which has not occurred at all.
Well, Putin bad.
Yeah, Putin bad. Putin bad. There have been many a notable case now of people sending money to Ukraine to support maybe a specific unit in the Ukrainian army, and those guys get nothing. Like them or hate them, the Ukrainians, you know, if you're sending them money to buy them a winter jacket and they don't get anything, you know, the money is going somewhere.
Would you say that perhaps imperialism is the highest state of capitalism?
It could be. It could be. It very well could be.
Yeah. More and more people are saying this.
Many such cases. You know, like, and I think this, it's an important link to be making with our last episode when, you know, we opened the last episode with, you know, his wheelings and dealings with Israel.
Well, with AIPAC specifically.
His wife's dealings, we should say.
You know, a really funny aside with Ukraine and Israel is that a good deal of Hamas and Hezbollah's weapons have come from Ukraine over the last year.
Rock on.
Because every time the United States or Western country sends them like a pallet of rocket launchers, if there's 100 rocket launchers on the pallet, 4 of them make it to the front in Ukraine. And, you know, 96 of them get sold on the black market.
One of these days, and they make their way. We need to talk about the ISIS Toyotas.
We got to talk about them.
Not today.
You know, like, I also think it's funny that since we made that episode about, you know, his wife making wheelings and dealings with AIPAC, it's funny how Jerry Seinfeld's wife was also making wheelings and dealings with that group that was making mass protests across college campuses.
Do not hide their crimes behind their wives. Fuck off.
they love hiding behind their wives. You know what, as we were saying in the last episode, it's follow the money, and we're following the money. Here's some more money to follow. As we mentioned in the previous episode, OnlyFans and admin Leo's previous company, MyFreeCams, have a habit of closing creators' accounts and stealing their money, or just like draining their wallets altogether with no option for recourse. You can see how common this is by reading reviews for the website MyFreeCams. Many users levy the same complaints: theft via the random closure of their accounts with no customer service. To explain why, thousands of dollars were withheld. And that's, you know, if you're thinking thousands of dollars, you know, in comparison to like the numbers we were talking about, I guess it seems paltry, but these are workers' lives. This is their rent money. This is like how they're going to feed themselves and their families. And it's just being disappeared. And this is a common thing that happens like across the sex worker industry, but it's a very common pattern with Rudvinsky and his companies.
And you know what? You might be sitting at home going, Kenny, Virgil, Greg, how are you going to prove any of this? Well, don't you worry. In 2018, Choice Bank, a Belize-based financial institution, collapsed. Awesome. And MyFreeCams was partnered with a company called Payoneer, a U.S.-based financial processing service. Payoneer has been around since 2005 and partners with many large companies, including Amazon and Airbnb, to facilitate international money transfers. Users with accounts on any of these services partnered with Payoneer can receive their money directly as a bank transfer, or they can get it in the form of prepaid debit cards, which we should talk about. But
yeah, tell me about that.
Prepaid debit cards are one of the financial industry's biggest scams. Sam, it's like they're stealing your money. If anybody ever offers, you know, everybody's had that their first job at McDonald's and maybe they haven't had a bank account yet. And McDonald's would be like, we'll give you a prepaid debit card. Don't take that. The bank I work for, Redacted Bank, makes like 18% on every dollar that goes into that account.
It also just seems like a way to exploit people who are unbanked, which, like, you know, happen to fall into categories of people that are more likely to experience institutional oppression or isolation or whatever. So it's a
and that can include
sex workers.
Heavy, yeah, sex workers is people who have jobs that in a lot of government institutions and private institutions are considered illegitimate. But
including sex workers who are like adults doing this work consensually, and then also including people who are coerced into doing sex work and who may not have appropriate government documents for the country that they happen to be residing in, so they're not able to form a bank account, or they don't get to have their own bank account because they are not going to be the person that's accessing the money that they are making allegedly.
People who are homeless, people who are subject to even just becoming a sex worker, you know, more so than like an average person.
Yeah. So what happened with Payoneer, Greg?
Oh, well, don't you worry. Back to our big friend Payoneer and their wonderful financial institution, Choice Bank. So when Choice Bank, based in Belize, collapsed, Payoneer users collectively lost about $100 million in 2018. And Payoneer refused to recoup the users' losses. Little side, if you're ever going to have a bank, you're gonna open a bank account. This might be harsh for some of you to hear, but you should open up an American bank account because we are one of the few countries that will recoup your losses if the bank collapses. A bank based in Belize, they're not going to recoup.
So would you say that it behooves an American corporation to then maybe partner with some of these international banks if they're doing financial wheelings and dealings with big companies? If you're doing
financial crime, Belize may be the country for you. Because I don't think Belize's GDP could cover the losses incurred by this bank.
Yeah, $100 million is a lot of dollars.
It's a lot of money.
And Belize is also like a known haven for sex traffickers, sex pests, people who don't want to pay their taxes, etc. So, you know, this happens. So many of the people that lost their money, though, were in the pornography industry because Choice Bank was well known for accepting what is known as a high-risk client. We briefly touched on that a moment ago. High-risk clients are people who are engaged in economic activities that may or may not be sanctioned by the government. The pornography industry has always been a gray area, to say the least, in the United States. And so
drugs are an issue there too, right? Yeah. Like, you know, marijuana, depending on like its legality, state to state or country to country.
Yeah.
Medicinal marijuana in particular, you're a high risk.
Yeah.
Client.
So depending on the state you're in, if you go into a dispensary, if they have an ATM inside, if they don't take debit card, it's usually going to be a bank like this running the ATM. It's going to be an overseas bank that will pull your cash out for you.
In the last couple of dispensaries I went to, it was like an ATM that had like the Choice Bank logo and everything. So,
where are we? Okay. So, when MyFreeCams workers were affected by this issue, MyFreeCams did nothing to help those workers get their money back, which seems pretty par for the course. So,
yeah, this is a common pattern. I mean, you can see this even with just big names like PayPal does this, where they just like they front you their money and then they just make it disappear. Happens all the time to people who work in sex work, and to some degree, people who work in like, you know, drugs and things like that as well. A high earning model, shared how MyFreeCams stopped making payments and forced the models to use Choice Bank in Belize, to receive their earned money. She said, quote, one day my MyFreeCams stopped my wire transfers to my bank without notice and then paid me their, Choice Bank against my wishes. Choice refused to wire money to my bank after that, and then they went bankrupt. The model also says that she lost $30,000 when MyFreeCams forced her to use the Belize-based bank. Hundreds of models lost a lot of money, and of course MyFreeCams didn't care, nor did they issue us an apology.
Can I just say that's such a crazy amount of money?
Yeah.
Dudes, that's a crazy amount of money.
Dudes be horny online. That's an insane amount of money.
Yeah. That's $30,000. That's minimum wage for a year.
Yeah, that's a year's
that this woman
income.
Lost. That's a year's income that this person lost. It fucking sucks. Like, it's really terrible. You know, these kinds of, like, you know, skimming off the top of people's funds or just disappearing them altogether. Again, like I said, happens. But to this scale is really, really bad.
Painter's relationship with Leonard Rubinsky was highlighted in some of those suspicious activity reports that we mentioned in the previous episode, which is when a bank files a report saying that something might be suspicious. They're not necessarily alleging anything, but just...
You guys want to know how those work?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why you're here.
I've had to do them before.
Cool.
So a suspicious activity report is mostly a series of forms that you attach evidence to. And then, depending on the nature of the alleged issue or crime, it goes to a couple of different places. Most of the time, it goes to our wonderful friends who also protect the president, the Secret Service, because they also protect the money. So if you are a bazillionaire and you do financial crime and my stupid ass catches you, and I fill out a SAR on you, and I send it off to, usually goes up to like the top of a bank before it goes out, which is also another issue in why these things don't always get caught. So if I filled out a SAR, let's say, you know, John Gates did a crime, and I fill out the SAR, it goes to my boss, and it then goes to the top of the bank. They make the decision on whether or not to send that to the Secret Service or to send that to the FBI. A lot of the times you'll find that these things don't go anywhere. They go up to the top and they make a phone call to whoever it is. And they just kind of take whoever the billionaire on the other line's word for it. The only people who really get caught in these things are poor people who might try to do some sort of double dipping at an ATM. You get caught. You get caught 100% of the time if you try to do something like that. But if you're a billionaire and you're doing fraud for millions of dollars, you don't. There's no penalty unless it's.
And I assume.
Dangerous. And that's why if you're doing like, a crime, you gotta go big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go big or go home.
Absolutely.
Shoot the moon. I assume, like, there are many levels to get to the top of the government. There are probably many levels of people before you actually get to talk to the billionaire on the phone also. I assume that whoever's talking to them, like, they get on the phone with, like, maybe their account manager or maybe a secretary and then an account manager and then maybe somebody else. And it just keeps going from there. And they'd much rather just take somebody's word for it.
Absolutely.
So that they can move on with their fucking day.
And this gives helpful context as to why so many suspicious activity reports about Leonard Rubinsky and his different businesses have been filed since like at least 2007 up to the ones that were legally accessed by Forensic News up to 2017, and why, you know, there was no follow-up action on any of that. So it's literally just a report. It doesn't necessarily allege anything. But one of those documented a wire transfer between Rubinsky and Payoneer for $1.3 million for unknown purposes. But most of those suspicious activity reports were flagging various transactions just between Leonard Rubinsky and himself, his different bank accounts, which can be indicative of money laundering. And I'm bringing this up again because shortly after Scott Stedman published, banks flagged OnlyFans owner and his businesses for potential money laundering underage activity in 2022, which is an alarming headline. Samantha Cole with Vice News, or as I like to call them, not nice news.
Nice news.
She issued her own perspective on the matter, titled OnlyFans Suspicious Activity Reports Mostly Show That Banks Hate Sex Work. And Cole argues that Leonard Rubinsky is the victim of discrimination.
What a fucking joke. What a goddamn
joke.
So
the Not Nice News article begins like this. The story sex workers anticipated, which was published by Scott Stedman at Forensic News, is based on years-old suspicious activity reports which banks give to the government when they discover what they deem to be suspicious and potentially criminal activity. The years-old phrasing here works to discredit the legitimacy and necessity of making this public, but the suspicious activity reports that Stedman published show that those filings from several different banks start in 2010 all the way to 2017, and those are just the ones that he was legally able to obtain. You can't publish suspicious activity reports unless you get permission to do so. So there's no reason to assume that there were no reports filed following 2017, especially since the information in the available documents show a clear pattern across the years.
God. This article fucking sucks.
Not nice news.
And this is the same company that just, like, used to just make a bunch of articles about, like, taking psychedelics at the goddamn, like, Bad Dragon factory and, like,
tripping their balls off. I hung out with ISIS and they were kind of cool.
they were kind of nutty with it. I kind of liked it.
I loved going to North Korea. It was fucking awesome. That kind of shit where it's just so fucking stupid. Anyway, more from this article. The Forensic News notes, quote, SARs are not proof of anything unscrupulous happening on the sites themselves or even as evidence of money laundering at the owner's level, because the adult industry is historically and constantly discriminated against by payment processors and pushed to the margins of the internet and society itself. That part is true. The existence and exposure of Radvinsky's SARs has created a ripple effect of confusion and worry among the community online.
What's the worry about? Not nice news. Continues to illuminate us. The article goes on to say the pornography industry is high risk for money laundering, human exploitation and illicit activities. One of the suspicious activity reports Forensic News published states. And Vice says there are, of course, many types of criminality and abuse that happen in and around the adult industry, but this is true about every industry. Children as young as 6 work in dangerous mines in order to extract the minerals that power our smartphones. At least last year, and this was written in 2019, consumer goods from Apple, Microsoft, or sorry, 2022. At least of last year, consumer goods from Apple, Microsoft, BMW, Gap, Nike, Samsung, Sony are being manufactured by re-education camp prisoners in China. Huge citation needed on that. But anyway.
Gigantic asterisk on that one.
chicken and meat packing plants are rife with abuse. Abuse and criminality are core features of consumer capitalism, but it's companies like Pornhub that are cut off from Visa and MasterCard, not Apple. I want to say that if you are ever in a position where your argument leads you to defend Pornhub, the company, you need to reevaluate yourself. And
it's so frustrating the way it's like, if there are any pro sex work, you know, articles that come out, they're always like supporting the industry
not need to tie our support to workers, to corporations within an industry that obviously exploit them, and it is really confusing.
Have to hand it to Brazzers.
Yeah, like, it's really confusing to me the way that some people who claim to be pro sex work end up doing a lot of free PR for companies that actually hurt these workers. And I don't understand the argument that because Apple or Microsoft or Gap also abuse their workers or have child exploitation, that means that any focus on companies like OnlyFans or Pornhub, when they do the same, it's unwarranted. And this is really why it was so difficult to find information about OnlyFans and Leonard Radvinsky worth talking about when we were doing the research for this episode, because the way that sex work is discussed online, both by liberals and also, of course, by like reactionaries, is useless, because either it's focused on carceral methods of removing sex workers from life entirely, or it is so pro business that it doesn't take into account the exploitation that those workers may experience at the hands of those businesses themselves.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the thesis kind of boils down to, especially in like liberal pro-sex work discourse, that Pornhub and Brazzers and these big porn industry companies should have a fair shot in the market, in the free market, like as others companies.
Pornhub is not woke. And I get so pissed off when people share those little cutesy graphics that's like the most searched Pornhub term in each state, because you know what they have to eliminate in order to make those graphics funny is the word teen. Because if they keep the word teen in their stats report, then it's all
states. Yeah. It's all of the states everywhere. And territories.
And if you care about sex workers and their ability to make money off of their own consensual work, Pornhub is full of like revenge porn and stolen pornography from people's paid sites. If you're ever in a position where you're writing an article defending Pornhub for sex workers on the behalf of sex workers, like, get real.
Now we're living in a world where generative fill AI and those companies are taking over ads on Pornhub and ads in other places and ads on TikTok even, in order to like steal both sex workers' content and non-consensually apply that to people who aren't sex workers. There have been several cases in the past like couple weeks of middle schoolers getting arrested because they are making generative fill AI porn of like their classmates. You know,
I think we should all be Luddites. I think this should be every podcast should be a radio show.
How would we
ham radio. I can't do it anymore.
So this
every
is...
time I log on the internet, it's another just generative AI. Like they're I'm watching somebody deep fry an egg, and then like
this is what it's all Vice News like takes umbrage with from one of those published SARs that was made by Wells Fargo in 2013, because there's 146 transfers between one of Radvinsky's companies and Payoneer, and Wells Fargo said that the company may be operating in areas where underage children and other vulnerable individuals may be forced to provide services. The bank did not outline specific instances of underactivity, but they did highlight money being transferred to high-risk regions, including Colombia, Romania, Poland, Bulgaria, Ukraine, Lithuania, the Philippines, and Russia. And Vice has a real issue with this. It says the statement is couched in vague uncertainty from the bank and is making a claim based on the assumed riskiness of a few countries where Radvinsky does business to level an accusation it can't prove. It sounds like they didn't have much to go on with this SAR other than that country is very high risk for child sex trafficking or something like that. Many in the adult industry were concerned that OnlyFans or MyFreeCams were about to fall to the same fate as Pornhub in December, when a story about child porn on Pornhub from the New York Times helped spur forward the work of conservative anti-sex work activists, ultimately leading to payment processors stopping services on the site. So they're saying that this like SAR alleging that maybe like underage activity is a flag from these financial reports shouldn't have been made public, because it's not fair. It's not fair to Radvinsky, because it might not be true.
You know how insane that is?
Yeah, it's like how you like on a basic level, it's like how people try to bring up something that like Joe Biden did, and they're like, you're hurting the cause for like pro sex work, I guess. Like if you bring up illegal or corrupt activities, you are somehow like that is directly one to one responsible for people had OnlyFans losing money, when in fact it's Radvinsky himself who steals money allegedly. You know, allegedly from people on MyFreeCams, from people on OnlyFans.
And also, like, that's not a list of countries that might be a problem. That is a list of countries. That is like, that's the top 10 countries to buy a person in.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
It's just...
Those are just the top 10 sex trafficking countries.
Yeah, if a bunch of payments are being made from MyFreeCams or OnlyFans through Payoneer to individuals that have accounts in all of these places, I think that you can make some assumptions, and the point of publishing those suspicious activity reports is not to allege anything, but to give people information in order to do to realize that there is a need for further investigation. Because yeah, you can't prove anything with that, but that maybe is helpful context for knowing this is something that should be looked into. And Not Nice News is claiming that information shouldn't be made public because people are going to draw the wrong conclusions, because even if there are children or other people who are being exploited or coerced, well, Apple also does that.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and they just assume that there's like a one-to-one ratio of pointing out rashes on somebody's arm means that then, you know, nobody gets fucking healthcare or some bullshit. Like, it's just, it's a very silly conflation of, and
it also
like,
blames
reactionaries to,
it blames the investigation of this kind of information as the reason for why, like, reactionary laws like Sesta Fosta get passed. But guess what? I looked at Katarina Chudnovsky, which is Leonid Ravinsky's wife's political donations, and she has donated to several senators who voted for Sesta Fosta. So it just does not make sense to blame like necessary investigation into these like very suspicious details on as the reason for why then like fascist laws get passed. And this is like Vice and other people confuse OnlyFans the company or other like similar companies with the individual sex worker who does deserve safe access to their own finances and to be protected from carceral measures. But Vice does this at the expense of the many real trafficking victims on OnlyFans, which it chooses to downplay. And OnlyFans is just one of the forces screwing over sex workers financially, but it has a direct causal relationship, like through that screwing over, to its existence as a platform that enables traffickers and other exploiters of sexual labor.
Yeah, I'd even argue that articles like this contribute to people's complete lack of education in how sex trafficking works. The way I get videos all the fucking time, and people just in regular life who are telling me that if there's a zip tie on my goddamn car door or a $20 bill on the ground, some guy in the Hamburglar mask has like has the $20 bill on a fishing line and is yanking it forward until he can trap me in a potato sack. Like, it is just a fact by pretty much every leading anti-sex trafficking organization around that every like a staggering number of people who are trafficked by people they fucking know.
Yeah.
Their boyfriend, their family, their fucking friends. Like, those are the people who are trafficking them. And to act like because I go to the mall that's like halfway abandoned next to my house, I'm gonna get trafficked. Like, you're a fucking idiot and I don't respect you. But also, like, I know why you think that way, because no one will actually fucking talk about trafficking and how it actually works.
Yeah.
And these kinds of articles are the reason it comes about.
Well, if we talked about how it worked in reality, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but I think too many people would be implicated immediately.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a very focused effort.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, all this shit with these SARs, you know, as somebody who does this day to day, this is my job. I look at shit like this all the time. I think if I looked at an account that somebody, because most of the time it's not a person who's going to flag this shit. You're going to get, the computer is going to automatically flag weird transactions, things that don't make sense, and things that are on the government's lists of like, hey, check out if somebody's sending $1 million to Romania multiple times a month. If I saw one of those, I would immediately probably file a report on it. Not necessarily because I'm like, oh, this is sex trafficking, but because of just my general knowledge that nobody should be doing that to anywhere. I don't care if they were sending multiple transactions to England or to France. it's suspicious. That's the point of a suspicious activity.
Yeah,
report,
and the banks have to cover their ass.
This is not normal bank activity. The banks have no morals. Like, there's nothing really binding them here. The only reason the banks don't willingly take on things like OnlyFans or Pornhub or the weed industry is because the government would have an issue with it. Banks have no problem. Their risk appetites could absolutely handle taking on all of the accounts for OnlyFans. Any bank would do it. It's more so that they would immediately be penalized by the government so hard they would probably collapse themselves. So there is no real agenda for your average like person checking out suspicious activity. They're just doing what they have to do to keep the bank safe. This is not really, they're not trying to go after porn. They're not trying to go after weed. They're covering their own ass. It doesn't matter what you do with your money, which is the same reason why a millionaire can get away with fraud as long as the bank isn't losing money in the process.
Yeah, it's financial exploitation. Yeah. I mean, we have a couple examples of that. I mean, in 2020, OnlyFans acquired and bought and brought under its umbrella, rather, a company called Delivery Code. We have a lot of company names floating around in this. I'm hoping you're keeping track, but this is the one we're focusing on right now. It's Delivery Code, which lets people purchase gifts for sex workers and others whose addresses are kept confidential. And I think we're all pretty aware of why their addresses would be kept confidential.
Yeah.
The company had about $5,000 in cash at the bank and zero employees, but OnlyFans purchased Delivery Code for nearly $29 million. Multiple users of Delivery Code have claimed they simply never received their gifts after fans purchased them and the customer service seemed non-existent. Others said that they ended up receiving Amazon gift cards in lieu of gifts months later. Which, like, if the gifts didn't come from Amazon, it's like not exactly an equal exchange here. public reviews of the company also support these claims. And I think it should be noted that, like, you know, if a fan is giving you a gift and then you don't receive that gift, you are on the line for handling the emotional responsibility of like customer support with your fan, to a certain extent. So like, it's not just like the fiduciary labor that is on both ends here, for the fan and the creator. It's also like the creator is like on the line here, is something I would assume. In one incident in 2021, the official support account for OnlyFans messaged a user on Twitter who complained publicly about Delivery Code, and the OnlyFans account denied that the two companies were related, even though it purchased Delivery Code less than a year prior. So it's like
not a problem.
Once again, I think it's important to.
Well, that is how OnlyFans and other companies like that benefit from this sort of systematic isolation of sex workers, because they control the few companies where people are able to safely do this work without getting their accounts nuked by Instagram, or where they can have money or something. And then they make it really difficult for people to access their money, or they don't give people the gifts that were bought. And then what can that person do?
Like
quit using OnlyFans? And then maybe they make significantly less income because of that, or they have to pursue riskier avenues of doing the same work because of how much Sestafosta has.
And I mean, it's also just very clear that like between this, like the fact that they accidentally included evidence against them in their own hearing,
they're fucking morons. Like,
well, they're morons, and they're okay with that. That's the thing, is that it's fine for them to not move, like basically move like a Looney Tunes cartoon character falling down the stairs, because nobody believes sex workers when they talk about corruption in their industry. And also, like, when they do, it ends up like the Vice article. So like they think that the people who work on their platforms are stupid. Yeah. Like they say, oh yeah, we're not related to Delivery Code at all. I don't know why you're adding us. Like, we have nothing to do with it. When it's literally public information that you purchased them for $29 million last year. And you think I'm stupid. Like, that's.
And the people who care the most, or who claim to care the most about the exploitation of sex workers, are like fascists who still want to like make use of them, but want to continue pushing them into the margins. So it makes it very difficult for people who have experienced these kinds of things to publicly like ask or organize for help about it, because like the left is useless and stupid, and so doesn't take these complaints seriously or view sex workers as workers who can be exploited or who deserve to have like collective power.
Let's say leftist Twitch streamers and media paragons that love to talk about how they're all for sex work, mm-hmm. and they love going to the strip club and they love going to the brothel or whatever the fuck they're at.
Yeah, they love what sex workers can do for them.
They love getting sloppy, but they don't love getting sloppy in labor.
They're still writing like tweet threads about how to organize the white working class.
If anybody says the words white working class to you, run.
Oh God.
Run immediately.
I convert the white working class man into leftists. I don't give a fuck. I don't want to hang with any of you. You suck.
I have one tip. I've got one tip for any of you. If you're trying to organize the white working class, you need to start listening to Eminem. You keep getting concerned about getting
brain and not you.
All right. Calling people idiots and treating them like trash. Forensic News reported in 2022 about some of the other financial problems that OnlyFans workers have to reckon with. Anna Valdez, a former creator on OnlyFans, said she woke up one day in 2021 to find her account email address had changed and the pending balance in her account, over $7,000, was withdrawn to an unknown bank. Screenshots that confirmed Valdez's story and showed that whoever changed her details had used an email address with a disposable domain name. What's up?
Craig, can I tell you something that you're not going to like? So I looked into this because this seems to be a scam that happened to a lot of people in 2021. And hopefully OnlyFans has changed its ways, but who knows? But some enterprising people found out that if you just email OnlyFans and you say that your name is the name of a creator with an account that you know to exist, that you got locked out of your email, but this is your new email. And can they generate you a new login link, a new password or something?
Yeah.
They just send you one. And so that is how a lot of people lost their money. And their like Forensic News, which it seems to be like the only guy that is reporting on some of this stuff, like he checked it and sent an email and was like, this is my account. I got locked out.
Yeah, they'll just make me a
new link to OnlyFans to send him one. So
probably have.
I hope that they have changed that.
Likely.
But,
and you know, the thing about like sex worker fans is that they're fucking crazy, right? Yeah. So like a lot of them are fucking nuts and very malicious. Yeah, there's anti-fans.
There's people that are very mad that like women might potentially be making fun of money really on OnlyFans, which they're not, but whatever. And so they like go out of their way to scrub images and videos off people's accounts and host them online. So there's definitely people who would be interested in this kind of like scheme as a form of revenge against some creator that they don't like, even though like $7,000, a lot of money to a lot of people, also not really a lot of money to someone who is like mm-hmm. doing mm-hmm. schemes and crimes. I feel like when that kind of thing is happening to people, it's either like from some mass effort or it's individually like targeted in order to ruin some person's day.
You know, in her discussions with customer service at OnlyFans, which seems like a joke, about the unauthorized access to her money, Valdez was just blamed for the intrusion. One email from OnlyFans support stated that, "Thank you for your email. We are not able to proceed with your request and return your lost earnings since content creators are responsible for keeping their access information safe. Valdez said, quote, "I trusted this company. When $7,000 was taken from my account, which is such a large amount, and I reached out for help, they literally said, 'Sorry, we can't help you with that. You're responsible for your account.' That just leads me to believe that they are the ones who took the money out of my account and committed fraud."
Yeah, and this happens to multiple They have multiple victims in this yeah. instance. One former top earning model on OnlyFans who went by the name of Goddess Megan One shared an account that was taken by OnlyFans in July with no warning. She attempted to withdraw her balance of over $3,300 only for OnlyFans to inform her that her payout quest was rejected. Another top earning OnlyFans model who lost thousands is a model who goes by the name of Alexis Taylor, Taylor with two R's at the end, on OnlyFans. Taylor woke up one morning in late May and she was not able to log into her OnlyFans account. She sent numerous messages on OnlyFans only to receive responses that she described as generic and unhelpful. The responses indicated that her account and all her data was erased. It does not say why, you know, but just that it was. OnlyFans eventually sent a substantive response to Taylor saying that her account was deleted because a customer submitted a claim to their bank that said they didn't authorize a subscription to Taylor's page. This is a very common scheme that even, you know, the regular average Joe does sometimes where they buy something and then they go, somebody must have done that on my account. Just issue me a new debit card and and then they just hang up. I mean, guilty. I'm sure. Yeah. Like this happens, but then
I've been doing that shit.
This shouldn't
twice
like,
a year without getting flagged.
If you're a legit, if you're like a small business, you'll probably take a hit. Right. But you're not going to get your whole account deleted if you just sell bullshit.
Yeah. Or it's some fucking married guy who spends a shit ton of money on OnlyFans and then his wife who shares his bank account with him is like, what is this? And he goes, I didn't do that. Someone must have stolen my card. I didn't make all of these pay-per-view purchases when I was staying at the hotel in Minnesota. That was someone else. Or, you know, like, I feel like for OnlyFans, especially to penalize people for this sort of thing happening is pretty ridiculous because I would imagine that it probably happens a lot that people who have bank statements that other people might see might have reason to deny that they did this or someone like makes a huge purchase impulsively on OnlyFans and then regrets doing it afterwards. And I also am sure that there are people who do this intentionally, like as a revenge scheme against some of the people on there. Because again, like people have a lot of animosity towards OnlyFans women, like women especially, for reasons that I guess that they are clear to me, but it's
so
stupid.
Taylor said that she, I quote, "I didn't get told about it. I didn't get a warning, just deleted and my money stolen," Taylor said. Although OnlyFans said that all information associated with her account was erased, Taylor has been told that her fans can still see private messages from her on the platform. So again, like what I was saying before is that if you're a small business that sells like, I don't know, fucking felt purses on Etsy or whatever, resin ashtrays or whatever the hell. No, you know, I don't knock you, but this is what you do. And somebody says like, I didn't actually buy that. And they dispute it with their bank. And then you'll probably take a hit. That money will probably go back to that person's account or will just get deleted from your wallet altogether. But you'll usually just get a warning. Or like you won't get a warning at all. They'll just explain it to you. And then you'll not get the money and you'll take a hit and you'll go on with your day. But in these cases, especially in Taylor's case, like she just got her account just obliterated off the face of the earth. Yeah. And those private messages are still up. So any, you know, previous history of her account, there's still evidence that it's there. They could restore it technically.
Yeah.
It seems like there's evidence that that could happen, but they just won't.
And that means that OnlyFans is still making money off of people's subscriptions to her until they delete
her
account entirely.
So they're still skimming off the top of whatever funds that she made. But like they're just telling her that they didn't. Again, it's like what we were saying before about like the other company Delivery Code and how they said that like, oh, we're not connected to them at all. They're just like blatantly lying. And then when they get caught, nothing happens, because they think that the people who work on their website are stupid, and they don't have any respect for them or their intelligence or them as a person.
Well, you know, Even more common complaints from OnlyFans workers allege wage theft, which you might remember from the My Free Cams models, not but 20 minutes ago, who faced similar situations only a couple of years before OnlyFans popped off and became the world's biggest porn site. Is it? I guess that's what we could call it.
Yeah.
World's biggest. It's like the world's biggest porn site.
Yeah, it's yeah. one of the most visited websites in the world. So one OnlyFans creator
named Claudia, who lives in Spain, logged into her account to read the message, "Please contact support to resume payments." After emailing support, Claudia was told, as other workers were on MyFreeCams and on OnlyFans, that her account had been erased and accounts are typically being deleted due to suspicious or fraudulent activity, the company wrote, with no specific identifying information about the nature of the issue and no response when users asked for that information. This exact phrasing was used in at least 8 different cases that Forensic News reviewed from OnlyFans workers who had experienced this account closure. Isn't that fun? Yeah, so, isn't that so fun? Yeah,
super fun. It just keeps happening.
Which like probably indicates that those account closures are automated. And I, Greg, as a financial expert, I just have a question about, so if people's accounts that have money in them are being closed and they don't have any recourse for recouping their money, and you are a company that's maybe doing like fraud crimes, like where would this money be going? Are they just holding on to it? Do they have a responsibility to report that they've closed?
No. So depending on how the company is structured, they might have, there's a couple different names for this account, but it, just think of it like a slush fund. So if this account is closed and let's say there's $1,000 in it, a normal company, so like Patreon, if our Patreon accounts get closed for our podcasts, if they shut off our accounts, tell us we broke terms of service, any money in there, it doesn't go to us. It gets returned to the subscribers. So you would think OnlyFans can do one of two things. They can return those subscription fees to the people who paid for them. Or they can use some kind of legal, there's some legal wiggle room. And they can say, well, you've already paid and you received your service already. Depending on how the user side of the contract of the user agreement looks. It could just mean the minute you've subscribed, you've received your end of the deal, which means OnlyFans keep the money. And then it would just go into their slush fund and they would use that to cover different things. That is kind of money that is completely free. It's not, you know, fraudulent money. It doesn't need to be washed like fraud money would. But they could use it for things that they might not be able to use their regular operating revenue for. Whether that be pay bribes, allegedly. Absolutely.
So it might kind of behoove them then to, you know, just have this like account closure process automated and maybe mm-hmm. err on the side of caution.
Yeah, so the way it probably works is that it's flagged so that if enough users, there's usually a threshold. So let's say your account has 1,000 subscribers. If 5 of them try to do a chargeback from your bank, that's probably what triggers an account closure. And it probably scales with how many people you have. But really, with any concerted effort by, you know, people who hate sex workers online, you could get a big account closed if you got 100 people to sign up and then try to charge back their bank. Because the bank is going to go to OnlyFans and say, hey, what is this? Or why do so many people want their money back from this specific person? And OnlyFans is going to go, oh, we want to resolve this issue without any litigation. And they'll just close the account.
Yeah.
That's
but they won't,
how that
they
works.
Won't delete it completely.
No, they got to keep
because then they can keep making money.
And they keep all the media files, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they get to keep all the media files. So it's imperative, some would say, maybe, potentially, for them to do this. You can also just, like, look at public reviews of OnlyFans online, like, just reviews of their websites on, like, you know, Better Business Bureau places and et cetera, et cetera. All of them are generally terrible. They all echo many of the same stories as the sex workers that we just talked about. One OF creator said, "What is most concerning is that my profile is up and still generating them money. People are still subscribing and watching me naked, but I can't ask for it to be deleted nor access my own content, and I'm not getting paid for it." So everyone can still see everything that someone previously made, They can still watch it in its entirety, even like scrub it, you know, for content and probably upload it somewhere else if they want to. And there's no recourse.
Yeah.
Absolutely none.
Cool. So just like in conclusion, OnlyFans really benefits from this institutional discrimination and isolation of sex workers that Not Nice News described. Like, there is very little recourse for these workers whose wages have been stolen, and OnlyFans has worked very hard to make itself, if not the sole camming platform, close to it. Mm-hmm. Remember, they're bribing Meta to get their competitors to stop advertising on Instagram, and they have no real incentive to improve its customer support in order to retain any workers that may have lost wages, because there are always new people that are making OnlyFans accounts.
It's all free
they
money.
They love that.
And OnlyFans, as far as I understand, the way they host images, the way they're getting around keeping all of this is that it's all server-side.
Yeah.
Which means if they want to make your account not accessible, they could do that. Mm-hmm. But all those images are probably stored, images, videos, text, everything that a creator might upload, exists in more than one location at once. And mm-hmm. if any of you have ever had a job, you'll know that at basically every large corporation, the way that data is stored is never good. Like, almost never good. It's usually just in a series of folders that you can do anything you want. Like, I've been in super junior positions at different firms before, and I could just, like, if you just keep clicking, you can get all the way up to stuff you should never be able to see.
It's like the digital big corporation equivalent of going into a small business's back office and seeing, like, okay, here, where do you keep all of your financial documents? And it's in, like, a shoebox that's, like, under a radiator. Like, all these highly flammable pieces of information are just, like, kept out and about. In just like a dirty little corner of some room somewhere, that anyone can look at if they so choose, like behind the fucking counter next to the cash register or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, you could do anything.
Okay. Well, we have run out of time just because Greg has a social life. And so
Franklin.
Check in next week, because we have more allegations to make. We've got more money to follow. Redvinsky is up to some things. I found his wife. I found out what his wife's favorite Tony Robbins book is. and who knows? More things might happen in the next week. So. I don't know. Subscribe to Big Soy Naturals. Give us a review. Go listen.
If you want.
Yeah, check us out on all social radio platforms.
Do not give Leonard Ravinsky your money.
Right. Don't buy a board eight. Don't buy a subscription on OnlyFans for the moment. just chill out.
Just
put that dick away.
give your money to us.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I love Venn diagrams.
I don't want to smoke, I just want to smoke. I don't want to smoke, I just want to smoke. I don't want to smoke, I just want to smoke. I don't want to smoke, I just want to smoke. When I'm smoking green, it's cause I'm on your team. When I smoke the seed, cause I'm such a fiend. High as a kite, smoking Walter White. When I smoke the blue and I smoke the purple. Smoking on the blunt, cause I wanna run. Smoking on the green cause it makes me lean. Smoking on the ground and I smoke and scream. When I hit the blunt, it's a paper cut. When I hit the blunt, I give a fuck. When I hit the blunt, I don't give a fuck. I don't want smoke, I just want smoke. 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 When I hit the pipe, I'm like Walter White.
Walter.
When I hit the smoke, I feel like a dope.
Dope.
Yeah, I like green cause it makes me lean. And I smoke high cause I'm blowing clouds. When I'm getting high, then it's time to smoke. When I'm smoking loud, then it's time to blow clouds. When I hit the blunt, I don't give a fuck. When I hit the blunt, it's like, give a fuck. I don't want smoke, I just want smoke. I don't want smoke, I just want smoke. I don't want smoke, I just want smoke. I don't want smoke, I just want smoke.
Big Soy Naturals.